Okay, we are picking up from the Gemara on Gimel Amud Beis, up to the next Mishnah, 8 lines from the bottom, with the words of Afal Pi. The Mishnah is going back to the lachas of Ketanim, Avadim, and Nashim, with regards to the Machzis of Shekels. So says the Mishnah, Afal Pi She'amnu, Ein Mashkin Nashim Avadim Ketanim. Even though we said that we don't take collateral from women, from the slaves, and from Ketanim, people under the age of 13, Aval Im Shaklu, if they decided they wanted to give we would in fact accept it because they're allowed to contribute voluntarily. Now it's pointed out that at the end of the day, since they're not obligated to Machzis HaShekel, they're not automatically going to be part of the Korban Tzibur. Rather, they have to give it as it's going to be like a Yachid, unless they wholeheartedly are relinquishing fully the Machzis HaShekel. And since they're doing that, that would be okay. It's a fascinating question that the Ketzos HaChoshen deals with. We know that Midoreisa, Ketanim, someone can be called on behalf of a Ketan. You can give them something. However, them to Makta, to give something to someone else, on Midoreisa level, Lechura, it does not Chal. So it says, how is it that the Ketanim, if we're talking about under the age of 13, is giving the Machzis HaShekel, it's not going to be a level on Midoreisa, it's nothing. It's not considered them giving any money whatsoever. So how is it Chal as the Machzis HaShekel? So it says that you can have a concept of Hefker based in Hefker, that when based in are going to say something was going to be hefker and then be owned by the Korban Tzibur, that would be allowed even in the circumstance. In the case of a year, that the Katan is giving it, we could say hefker based in hefker, and they have the ability to even transfer the property through that method. It's a fascinating Ketzos HaChoshen, and other Achorim. The Grizz talks about it, the Bris Karev has a Chiddush over there as well, different, a little bit different than the Ketzos HaChoshen, but a very fascinating question, how can we Bichal accept the Katan if Midoreisa, it's not even considered him giving anything. So then the Mishnah continues, Anachri v'akusi sheshaklu. So if you have a non-Jew, or someone who's a kuti, and he gave a Machzis HaShekel, ein lokal miyadin, we do not accept them. It's important to note, who was this kuti, because the Gemara is going to discuss in the Hemshech over here, whether or not they converted, whether or not they're considered Jews or not. So the kutin, basically in the time of Asher, the Assyrian emperor, I think it was Shalmaneser, he transferred people from Kuta, and they came to populate the land that was destroyed, the 10 lost tribes. The area where the Asaras HaShvatim were, the 10 lost tribes, the king of Asher placed them there. Now, there was a time where the Kutim were afraid of, they were thought of being punished by lions, and therefore they decided to convert to Judaism. So the whole Shaila, Bichlal Netanayim, whether their conversion was MS or not. So that's what we're going to see. The Gemara is going to discuss that this is actually machlokas in our, based on our sugyas as well. But Lamaisa, throughout Shas Mishnayos and throughout the Mishnayos, you have different Mishnayos implying that they're at least a Suffolk Jew, Suffolk non-Jew. The Gemara relates later that later they saw that they were mamash being worshipping of Avodah Zarah. And then they established that they're Bichlal not Jewish. But throughout Mishnayos, you have different Mishnayos being sosim, whether or not they were Jewish or not. And so here also we're viewing them as Ein Mekabelim as in a category of a non Jew. We have different Mishnayos again, brachos and Mishnayos all over Shas that seem to indicate that at least a Suffolk Jew or someone considered a Jew. From here, we don't accept their Machzis HaShekel. And now the Mishnah continues with the Nachadin about the Nachri and the Kutiv. Ein Mekabelim miyadim kani zavim kani zavos kani yodos. Do we accept for them if they bring any of these types of korbanos for zavim or for zavos, for woman who gave birth, any of these different korbanos that they were supposed to be given, we do not accept it from the Kutim, or from the Goyim, v'chatos l'shemos, or chatos from Hashem, we also won't accept these korbanos, because it says, da'abrel b'nei Yisrael, nefesh ki techta, a different psukim, and we learn out from kachatos ka'asham, that there is a hekesh between the two of them, so therefore, we do not accept that korban. So says the Mishnah, Zakal, this is the general rule, kol shenidar v'nidav, anything which can be made as a neder, or a nedava, we brought as a voluntary donation to the base of Megdash, mekal miyadim, that you would be allowed to accept from a non-Jew. That would not be a problem, because it says, the Pasuk says, Ishish Beis Yisrael, Asher Yakri Lechem Chol Nireim Chol Nirvosam. This Pasuk is telling you that any person, even a non-Jew, can make these korbanos. So that's they're allowed to bring those. That is the opinion of this Mishnah over here. And the Mishnah continues. It's not a donation, then for the upkeep of the base of Mikdash, and Ein Mekabel Nami, would not accept that donation from them. We see that basically explicitly in Ezra. They were trying to build a base of Mikdash, and Goyim wanted to partake in it and donate a little bit. So then Ezra says, "Shenamar lo lachem v'lo levnos beis elokeinu." It's not for you to build our house of Hashem to build a beis hamikdash. Rather, we alone are going to build it with the help of Hashem. So this pasuk is telling you that Ovdei Avodah Zarah and Kutim are not allowed to be involved in the process of building the beis hamikdash. Then the turning on to the next amud over here says the Mishnah of Elul Shechayev and Makalvan. These are the people who are going to be chayev in a kalbon. What in the world is a kalbon? So kalbon is an acronym for the words kal, light, literally, and bain, between. That this is representing a small amount that is between when you're exchanging. So what happened is that, you know, think about it. How many people, 500,000 people, 600,000 people, who all had to give, 700,000 people, men, who had to give the machzis shekel. So think about the demand for a machzis shekel that you needed. So let's just assume for easy sake, because a 50 cent coin versus a dollar coin. So everyone has dollar bills and you'd exchange them to 50 cents. But wait a second. There's barely any 50 cents now. So there was a premium that they would charge, not a major one. Based on the Gemara later, it's going to see it's whether a 12th or a 24th more than the fee. But to give you two half shekels for your dollar bill, so then I'm going to charge you a little bit. I'll give you a 5 cent commission, a 12 cent commission, whatever it's going to be. I'm going to make you pay that 12 cents. So that's called the kalbon. And that kalbon needed to be paid. That's the view of the Tanakhama, that it's a din derabbanan. There's the opinion of Rabbi Meir, who holds that this kalbon is actually a chiyuv mitaraisa. We're going to get to a little bit more in the next amud. But this is the idea of the kalbon. So it comes out that if two people are splitting and each doing a master's a shekel, so they only have to pay one kalbon, one fee, because they're just paying the one service fee, that the exchange rate fee that they for changing the dollar into 2 50-cent coins. And this money was given to the gizbar, the person in charge, the secretary of the Beis HaMikdash. It was not given to the person exchanging it. He was working on behalf of the Beis HaMikdash, and that's who the money would be given. So that's what the concept of a kalbon. So these are people who are having a kalbon. Levi and Yisrael, the game of the Nevi Shacharim, Levi, Yisrael, and converts and a freed slave, because again, these are all the people who are chayiv machzis shekel. Avaloi kohanim v'nashim v'vadim miktanim, but not for kohanim, women, slaves, or minors. So this is a person on the age of 13. This opinion of the Mishnah is that someone who's a kohen is not chayiv in the machzis shekel. Hashok al yidei kohen, someone is contributing on behalf of a kohen, al yidei isha, or on behalf of a woman, al yidei eved, on behalf of a slave, al yidei katan, or on behalf of a child. Potter is exempt from paying the kalbon, because as it is, they don't have to pay. So the whole thing is donation. So you're going to tell me that you're losing out on the 5 cent transfer fee, the 12 cent transfer fee. Okay, but they didn't have to give any of the machzis shekel. So clearly you do not have to do anything more than that. You don't have to give the kalbon. That is the hemshech of the Mishnah. The Mishnah now continues. If it's contributing machzis shekel, his half on behalf of his friend, as we mentioned before, based on the concept that you're only exchanging once. So if you and your friend are in need of each machzis shekel, then you'd only be chayav to pay one kalbon. Who held the shitaso that the idea of a kalbon is part of the mitzvah deraisa of machzis shekel? So it doesn't matter if it's not just about the exchange, right? It's about the mitzvah of doing the kalbon, and you need it to, according to Rav Meir, makes sense that two people would require two kalbonos because everyone needs a kalbon when you're giving the machzis shekel. Hanosin sell, someone's giving a sell up for himself, minota shekel, and takes a shekel and change chayav shnei kalbonos. He's chayav to pay two different kalbonos. The Gemara is going to discuss this later on. Hashok al yidei ani, someone who's contributing on behalf of a poor person, by the shechina, or behalf of his neighbor, someone who lives in his town, potter, is exempt from paying the kalbon, because at the end of the day, he's doing something that's not for him. So therefore, if it's not for him, and the person giving it is not the same one whose money it really is, so then you don't have to pay the kalbon. That's a special halacha. And then the Mishnah continues, and the Mishnah says, however, if he sends it through a loan, chayav, then you have to pay the kalbon, because it's really like you're just being the shaliach to pay for Reuven. So then you would have to have a kalbon. Ha'achin ha'shutvin, if you have brothers or partners, they just, the father of Rahman al-Tan passed away, and they're split up his estate. So then, shechayv ha'kalbon, if they're going to be chayv in a kalbon, p'tur ma'aser behema, that's the rule. When they're chayv in a kalbon, they're going to be p'tur for ma'aser behema. However, chayv in ma'aser behema, when they're chayv in ma'aser behema, so then they're going to be p'tur in a kalbon. So we're going to see, the Gemara is going to discuss, clarify what exactly are the two points from when are you patur from Eiser Sheni, and when are you chayav in kalbon, what are the parameters of each one, and the Gemara is going to discuss the next. Amud, v'chamahu kalbon, how much is a kalbon? Ma kesef, it's a ma of silver. Divrei Rabbi Meir, and chachamim omrim chatzi ma, so whether it's a ma or chatzi ma, as I mentioned already, alluded to before, that it comes out to 1/12 of the kalbon is going to be one twelfth of the shekel, or as opposed to chamim, that's going to be 1/24 of a shekel, according to them. So now the Gemara says Vayter. So says the Gemara, Af al pi sha'amru, even though the court they said according to the Mishnah says that even though they said by a katan. So says the Gemara, what's going on over here? Halitba ain't tov. It sounds from this Mishnah that we don't even actually ask them, we don't demand that they should give that machzor shekel. However, hachatat matovin, but in the previous Mishnah we just said that we do want and demand that the person over the age of 13, below the age of 20, should bring the machzor shekel. Now you can't take a collateral like you can for someone who's above 20, but you still have a chiyuv. So says the Gemara, v'achatamart ain't tovin. This Mishnah is telling us you do not demand the machzor shekel. So which is it? So zak the Gemara kan b'shevi shtei saros. The previous Mishnah is talking about where he had two pubic hairs below, so therefore he's considered a gadol, and therefore we're going to demand the machzor shekel over here. And our Mishnah, which says you're not demanding it, kan b'shelo evi shtei saros. And our Mishnah is talking about where he did not have two hairs showing signs of maturity, and therefore we do not demand the machzor shekel. Now the Gemara goes on to the next part of the Mishnah, which is at anachav akuti. So now I mentioned we're going to discuss the kutim. That's right now. Amar Rabbi, tipater kaman demar kutim nachri. You can interpret the Mishnah as according to the one who says the kutim are considered a full-fledged ovid of avodah zarah. That's why they can't bring any of the korban zavim. Korban zavos need of eliyaladis. They can't bring any of these korbanos because at the end of the day they're considered like goyim. That's what the Mishnah seems to imply. As the Gemara is pointing out, this isn't so pashut. It's bugging because really there's a machlokes tanaim about this in a brisa. Kusi kenachri. One mission tells us that kuti is like a non-Jew. Divrei Rebbe, that's according to Rebbe. However, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says kuti ki Yisrael achol davar. Kuti is a Jew in every single shape or form. He's a Jew. Says the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Lezer masnis lekenachrim. Our Mishnah's rule can even say that it's talking about someone who views him as a nachrim. Habakusim lo, but regarding to a kutim, that they would be in fact allowed to bring certain korbanos. Who said that part of the halacha was going on both the kutim that they're not able to bring the korbanos? Maybe they are. So it says Reb Lezer, Vatani Ken, we also learn this in a Braisa, which says Adam, the Rabbis of Gerim, Adam, is teaching you to include a convert, that we're talking about a person brings a korban, so this is including korban, they're allowed to bring korban. Mikem lo tzitzim umarim, from you is to exclude a person's off the derech, a person's alpikayers, they're not allowed to bring a korban. So now we see from the pasuk that if a convert are going to be allowed to bring a korban, it follows that a kutim are seen as logically valid converts, they should also be allowed to bring a korban. So says the Gemara, Masnisa Pligi al Rabbi Elazar. It must be the Mishnah itself is going to be a problem for Rabbi Elazar, because our Mishnah says, Ein v'kabin kanin v'kanin zavin v'kanin zavos kanin yolodos. We don't bring any of these type of korbanos that are kanin zavos, zavin v'zavos, for a woman who just given birth. All these korbanos that a woman is bringing from a kuti. V'chi yesh kanin zavin v'zavos b'nachrim. Wait a second. Why do you have to tell me that if we don't bring it from a goy? We're talking about a goy right now. A goy doesn't bring any of these korbanos. I know that already. So what are you bringing up a shayla about a goy? So it must be that this Mishnah is talking about a kuti, and it doesn't apply to Odev Azar, so therefore, this is going to be against Rabbi Lezer. So it says the Gemara, now, that the first part of the Mishnah is talking about Odev Azar, and the later part of the Mishnah is talking about Kutim. Is that really the case, though? That means that the Reisha and Sefer, there are two different cases, Bichlal. We like to stylistically line up the Mishnah. You tell me the first part of the Mishnah is referring to a Goy, the second part of the Mishnah is talking about a Kuti. The Gemara says, yeah, well, sometimes when you're stuck, that's going to be answered. The Gemara says, yeah. Kenu, Reisha Menachem Zeim HaKutim. Yes, and where's Enochanami? That's really not the best answer, but that is a good enough answer for us to assume that we would say that Reisha is talking about a Nachri, and the Zeim HaZamar HaKuti. Now the Mishnah told us that we don't accept donations from people who voted over the Zara for the base of Megdash funds. So the Gemara now discusses that there's a machlokes. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Betchila, that we don't accept the funds when the base of Megdash was being built. In Megal Mehem, lo davar misim, lo davar shenim. So we don't accept any donation whatsoever. We don't them having a hand in any say whatsoever in our base of Megdash. I think somebody applies that to a shul. This is actually a big shaila nowadays because there's a lot of Christian organizations in America, especially, that they want the Jews to go back to Israel. I think I believe for their Messiah to come, if it's the Jews have to go back to Eretz Israel, whatever the reason is. So they're willing to donate to a lot of Israeli causes. So they'll even donate to shuls and stuff like that. I know someone asked a big shiloh for Nevinsol. I think he had a big donation. He's yeshiva. And was Rav Nevinsol was very against. He says, you don't take any money from the Christians. So they are void of Israel. We want them getting involved in our shuls. We don't get involved in our Beit Knessios. We don't get involved in Beis HaMikdash. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. That in the beginning, we didn't accept whatsoever anything. However, myself, once the Beis HaMikdash had already been built and they want to donate some money to the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, then Mikavli Man Davar Shein HaMasiyah. We can accept something which isn't going to be distinctive, because if it's something that's distinctive, in Mikavli Man Davar Masiyah, because they're going to know, everyone's going to see the sign, it's a zilzul for the Beis HaMikdash, that this Nachri donated that plaque over there. You're going to put a plaque for the Nachri in the Beis HaMikdash. That's a zilzul for the Beis HaMikdash, so we don't do that. Rav Shimon Lakish disagrees. Rav Shimon Lakish says, Bein Betchila Bein Masov, in Mekabim Man, we don't accept from the beginning, and we don't accept a dollar from them. Lo Darim Masov, Darim Masov, it doesn't matter if it's object, it's distinct, it's not distinct, we don't care. We don't accept anything from them. So says the Gemara, the Gemara is saying that our braces seems to be a problem with the Yochanan, because our braces says, we don't accept from the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, we don't accept from them any donation for the base Amigdash. So this braces doesn't differentiate between donations given at the beginning or at the end. So it seems to imply that we are never allowed to accept any donations, which is against the view. Rabbi Yochanan says at the end, if it's in Davar She'inam Asuyam, and it's at the end, you would be allowed to accept the donation from a goy. So it says the Gemara, Pasul Abay Mitzchil Abay Masof. So you can interpret this price as speaking about both the beginning and the end, and as long as something that's distinctive, which even Rabbi Yochanan would agree, is never accepted. So the Gemara, that's one answer. And second possible answer is Pasul Abay Mitzchila, specifically the Girsa, Shafila Ma'osav, Yolich Ali Yomelas. Maybe we're talking about, no, that the price is talking about the beginning. And therefore, the beginning, we're saying that, that at the end of the day, that we don't accept anything from them, and you send it to Yom HaMelech because you're not allowed to have hanah from what they just brought to the Beis HaMikdash, and you throw it away. So now the Gemara is going to address another point of Rav Shimon Lakish. Rav Shimon Lakish Amar, Bein Mitzchila, Bein Masof, In Makalim Bahen, Lo Dar Masiyom, Dar Ad Enosh, In Masiyom. So the Gemara has a question on Rav Shimon Lakish. Zok the Gemara, Masnisa Pligi Rav Shimon Lakish. Our Mishnah seems to be against Rav Shimon Lakish. What does our Mishnah say? The Tanya, our Mishnah said, Kol Shavin, She'en, Udarvin, Udavin. That everyone agrees that the Nachri is not allowed to bring a Nedar type of korban, a nedava, or a nidar, rather, and another type of swearing that he made. And this seems to be against the rule of Shimon ben Lakish, who said that we don't accept the money for the bedek abayis at all, at any point, from Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So Zak the Gemara, Pasra la Ula, Ula said you can interpret this Mishnah, Pasra la Ula, that you can explain that the Mishnah is talking about if he agrees to bring a korban ola, which we agree that is accepted from a non-Jew. So the Gemara says, but how does this work in the Lashon of the Mishnah though? Nicha knows nodrin ola. It's the Mishnah's point where it said that he can bring a korban ola, that I understand. Nidarin ola, but how could it be that nidarin ola, that you can force them, make a neder for them, that they should bring a korban? That's certainly not the case. So it says the Gemara, Elik Sh'amar Yisrael, Hare Alai Ola, when Yisrael says, I'm bringing an ola, v'shama nachri nachri, here's the Yisrael. So then, v'shama nachri, v'shama mashama alazeh alai. It says, what that one said I want to do as well, that would be a case where Goy is making the neder on his own, and therefore the Mishnah is describing that case. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. So now the Gemara continues, that the non-Jew, if he is bringing a korban, he should not bring the nesachim, the combination wine of it, libations with it as well. He should not bring that. Most are not nesachim milik lishar zinim. And so we're asked what the extra nesachim are not going to use for the service of the Beis HaMikdash, meaning the usar of nesachim is going to be machlokas, but the Rabbi Kiva holds that it's used for klei sharis, well, the buying new kalim for the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so either way, so the Gemara now is saying that when it comes to this din over here, so at the end of the day, we say Moshe Mechad lo klei sharis inun. We're asking, how is it possible it's not considered part of Klisharis? Nimtza maybe Davar Shein HaMasiyam. He's bringing Davar Shein HaMasiyam. And this seems to contradict Rav Shimon Lakish that says you're not allowed to ever offer anything from a goy into the Beis HaMikdash. So it says the Gemara, not Korban again, just for the donations of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So it's like the Gemara, Hesi Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Bun. And he said, Vaha, this Tanina, and he's learning the Mishnah, Nerachin, that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah can be subject to Arachin, that you take their Erech, how much they're valued, and they would have to bring that money. V'orchin, also to get Erech values themselves. Lo de'vedek abayis inun. Now, this is not brought for the bedek abayis. It sounds like it should be. Yet the Mishnah says we can accept the contribution of Rav Zorah if it's an Erech value. How this would seem to be contradictory of Shimon ben Lakish, who said that we never accept any donations from them. So says the Gemara, Heich ma to Amar Taman. That which you said, what you said before, the Shemayim Mimskavan, that if the Ovdei Avodah Zarah is being Kavana for the Shem Shemayim, then it wouldn't be the worth things to accept their Korban. And therefore, it's coming to upkeep the Beis HaMikdash on its own. And therefore, so you could say the same thing when it comes to the Nesachim as well, that since the Shemayim Mimskavan, the Shem Shemayim, that they're coming to be used for the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, so change the gears, the clay shards, that should be used for the different Kalim in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. That's what the Gemara now says. The Gemara continues by says the Gemara, Shimon Lakish Pasul Alolachem Alonim the Beis Lokeinu. Shimon Lakish says that we don't want any donations for the Beis Hamikdash. Sounds like pain in the beginning, pain at the end. We don't want any donations from the Goyim. Says the Gemara, Chizki Amar Rabbi Simon Shal Me'ata. So we learn from here that the pasuk is talking about the following: In Rekalim Amasamayim, that we shouldn't accept from a Goy anything for the upkeep of Yerushalayim either. So the water that was in Yerushalayim, they had to pay a tax for the chomos that year, to pay for the towers of the cities and the walls as protection, the security fee, whatever you have to pay in Yerushalayim, but we don't have them help us. Al shame, because of the pasuk, it says, lachem and lachelik, you guys don't have a chelik, and that's a reference to the Zechirus Yerushalayim as well, it's a reference to Yerushalayim, but pashtus that they would have no chelik in that. So it says the Gemara, So usually we keep skip the remedies. We're going to the Hemshach Gemara. Now the Gemara says either Masnisa or different gears. My time with Rebbe Meir. What's the reason of Rebbe Meir that said that a person pays two kaponos? The Rebbe Meir kishem shishakel toira. Since the Torah tells us that someone has to bring a shekel, kach kiblu the toira. So too the kalpon is also midoraisa. As we mentioned before, that's why when you exchange, it really should be only one fee of exchanging for the 52 masses of shekel. But still, since two people are bringing it, according to Rebbe Meir, you have to bring two kalponos because midoraisa, each person has to bring their own kalpon. A pretty pashut svar of Rebbe Meir. The Gemara says, "Because Rebbe Meir, therefore holds benosin shekel shalom regarding someone who contributes a whole shekel, a seller which is just gone for himself and his friend, shuchayav shnei kalponos is going to be obligated to pay two kalponos for each one of the half shekel that he brought." Says the Gemara, "Damar Rebbe Meir, as Rebbe Meir taught us." It's a famous midrash that Akash Baruch Hu, he brought out a coin from the fire beneath the Kisei HaKavod, the throne of Akash Baruch Hu, whatever that means, Kaviyachol. And he showed Moshe this exact Zeyitnu. You should give it like this. Whenever there's Lashon of Zeh in the Chumash, usually means that someone is pointing something, someone showing something so clearly. Rashi and Chumash always saw that whenever there's a Zeh, that Hashem showed Moshe very clearly something. So he showed on the maps as a shekel. And he says, Kadeinu, give the coin just like this one, and Moshe Rabbeinu should give like this. With this in mind, we see that Hashem brought the key of the Machzor Shekel, must be given to a coin of Moshe Rabbeinu Machzor Shekel, and therefore the Korban is the fulfillment of that Din D'oraisa to bring it to the level of getting it, to make sure that you gave an exact Machzor Shekel. So then the Gemara says, Vayter, Nasan Seli Tol Shekel Chayav Shnei Kalbonos. If you take for himself the Sela, and he takes a Shekel, he's going to be Chayav two Kalbonos. So says the Gemara, Amar B'Lazar, this part of the Mishnah seems to also follow the Shita of Rav Meir. The Rav Meir here, the Rav Meir Amar Echad Shekel V'Shu Nosen V'Echad L'Divrei Tera. What is he bringing for the Din D'oraisa of the Kalbon? But according to the Kalbon, it's going to be one Kalbon, but I say the other one has to bring the Kalbon because each person needs to bring their own Kalbon, according to Rav Meir. So says the Gemara, Raya for Rav Meir, the son of Elchevim B'Kalbon, these are the ones who are obligated in the Kalbon. If someone brings a Sela and he exchanges it for the Shekel, the Chaim are going to say, Kalbon Echad, he brings one Kalbon. Rav Meir says, it's going to be Chayav two Kalbonos. Says the Gemara. The Gemara goes right to the Gemara, says, V'Rav Amar Divrei Akoli, that this part of the Mishnah is not just the Tanakama, even he's not just Rabbi Lazar, it's really everyone's going to agree to this, even Tanakama. Because what do we see? Echad Shekel Shunosin. One Kalbon is going to be a Shekel that he gives, Echad Shekel Shunotel, and it's one for the Shekel that he takes. Those are both following in the Shekel. The Gemara now says, Al Daisi Degav, according to Rav's reasoning, Shloshe Kalbonosin, and really should be three Kalbonos. That's to say that in the case of someone who's bringing a Sela, and he gives over, he gets a Shekel in change, and Mary would tell you they have to bring a third Kalbon, on based on the regular D'oraisa of every person having a Kalbon for himself. So says the Gemara, or Raya for this, Rav said that there's really three korbanos according to the mayor. And that was echad shekel shel nosen. One korban is the shekel that he gives, echad shekel shel nosen. One is for the shekel that he's taking, echad l'divrei Torah. One is for the d'oraisa of bringing the korban. So the Mishnah talked about if you have two brothers who are splitting up the Yerusha of their father, whether or not they're going to be chayav in the Kalbon, and whether or not they're going to be chayav in Meisr Sheni. So now the Gemara is going to analyze this a little more. Ha'achin v'ashutvin, if you have brothers who are also partners in the estate of their father, who had just passed away, so shechayav in Kalbon, v'tur Meisr Behema, they're going to be chayav in a Kalbon, but they're going to be partner from Meisr Behema. Why is that? What's the case? V'shechalko v'chazun v'shtatvin, the case where they divided the estate, and then they went into partnership after they divided the estate, it's better for us to be partners. In that case, the original estate was considered to be null and void, and therefore they had a partnership which was void, and now they have a partnership. So we see that since they have a partnership, they're not going to be chayav and meiser. Only something that's owned individually is going to be chayav and meiser. So this is not going to be chayav and meiser. However, the machzor shekel is paid by brothers from their own money now. They're going to be chayav to bring a kalbon. However, if it wasn't their own money, b'chal, it was their father's money, where they didn't divide it yet, where you could still theoretically call their father's money, they would not be chayav in a kalbon. The Gemara is going to get to that in a moment. So that's the Gemara.
So in the case where shechayvim ma'aser beima p'tur min hakavon, a case where they're obligated to take ma'aser beima, but they're not obligated to pay the hakavon, is b'shalach halka. In the case where an undivided estate, an undivided estate is not considered a partnership of the two brothers; rather, it's, each one is going to be independent, and therefore animals are not going to be considered owned by shutfim, and they're going to be chayvim ma'aser. But when it comes to the machzor shekel, since it's going to be paid by someone else's own private money, but the estate, there's going to be no kalbon. That's what we're assuming at this point. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Lazar." Rabbi Lazar says, That we're talking about dividing him and getting into the state. That's where we're talking about the brothers divided a goat against a, let's say, in exchange for a ram, and a ram in exchange for a goat. So where the brothers did that, so then we're assuming that the brothers had therefore purchased the assets from one another. And therefore, we're assuming that they have therefore gotten rid of the original. Original state. When the brothers later combined the assets, they created a new partnership, and therefore they're exempt from Meiser Behema. If they divided the goats against the goats, and then the rams kinega the rams, who chelko mishas harishon? But that's considered to be retroactively lamafreya, going to be considered as if each portion was destined to be his from the first moment, and therefore in that case we don't assume that anything was considered dissolved, and therefore the brothers are going to be viewed not as shutfim, not as partners, rather they're going to be yorshim, they're going to be heirs, where they're therefore taking over an undivided state, and therefore they're going to have to take meiser from their animals. Rabbi Yochanan, afilu chelku gedim kineged gedim v'tayashim kineshim. Now Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. He says, even if they did the goats kineged the goats and the rams kineged the rams, we're not going to say that each brother has been retroactively understood that that was the portion you received from the first moment, and therefore the kelukuchos, and we're going to assume rather they're considered purchases from their portions. And even in that case, they're going to be considered like there were enough of a shutfim to pater them from Meiser Behima. So then the Gemara says, is this the similar we learn in the Mishnah? Halokeach, someone who takes an animal which wasn't had meiser on it, v'shinitzel na b'matana, was given to him as a gift. Pater b'meiser behima is going to be not to be subject to meiser behima, even though the animal has not yet been gotten any meiser yet. The owner doesn't have to count it for meiser because the halacha of meiser applies only to animals that were born to someone's own own flock, whatever you have your own things, but not that which you've received as a gift or from anyone else. So now the Gemara continues. There are some times where they're going to be exempt from both of them. What is that? Rabbi Meir now says, so what's the case? The case must be the following. Where they divided the property, but they didn't divide the livestock. They're going to be chayav in the kalbon and also meiser behima. If they divided the flock, but they didn't divide the property, then they're going to be pater from both the kalbon and the meiser behima, because in this case they're considered shutfim with regards to the animals. However, the money is under a single ownership, which is considered like tefisas apayas. Therefore, they're not obligated to take meiser, and they do not need to pay the kalbon. Okay, that's what the Gemara is assuming at this point. Now the Gemara qualifies Rabbi Yirmiyah. The Gemara says, "Amar Mana, how did that Amar?" That's what you said when they divided the property, but not the flock. Then they're going to be chayav to bring a kalban. That's where the behemas were not a majority of the assets. However, if the animals are majority of the assets of the person, heinen ikar nechasim, that's ikar nechasim, and therefore their status is going to be that it's like that they are with each other's property, and therefore, even if the money of the state was going to be divided, if the animals were not, then all the property is going to be considered divided by is going to be under a undivided state. In that case, Masa Shekel is going to be the property of the undivided state. Therefore, you would not have to pay a kalbon under that circumstance. Okay, so we'll Be'ezus Hashem pick up with the words of Rabbi Avin tomorrow.